Reno's Rock Station, Rock 104.5, backstage once again. Final day, Aftershock 2024. It has been an amazing time back here, Kevin. I feel a little exhausted, but I feel that this is going to be the day.
I'm tired, but yeah, we got a great day. The people we're talking to, like right now, freaking amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, in front of us is the one and only Johnny Hawkins from the band Nothing More. What's up, man?
Hey, so y'all day four now?
We
or
day
three?
This is day four.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so y'all are exhausted.
Yes. But, no, we're excited to be here. And, I mean, look, the Aftershock Festival, I've been coming since 2012. That's when it started. And it's an amazing festival. Started with one day, one stage. Here we are, 12 festivals later, and we're looking at 4 days, 5 stages, over 130 bands. Now, me doing the research that I like to do, I will tell you, and you may or may not know this, but you're one of the longest running bands at the Aftershock Festival. Nothing More has now played 5 times at Aftershock, technically 6, because you guys did 2 shows in 1 weekend.
Oh, I was about to correct you, but yeah. Now that I think about it, I think you're right, because we did, at the first one, we played
twice.
Separate days. Okay,
yeah. 2013, you guys were on one of the smaller stages, and then tell us that story, because
yeah.
We're talking about that.
Yeah, so we barely made it. Our van at the time, it was like a taco truck that we renovated to turn into a touring vehicle.
Okay.
We were eating ramen, sleeping on couches, sludging it out as a DIY band,
right?
And the water pump in the vehicle broke right as we were coasting into the parking lot.
Okay.
So we barely made it. We played on a side stage to about 500 to 800 people.
Mm-hmm.
Killed it. Felt really good about the set. It was one that I remember just walking off stage with a good feeling. And the first person that shook my hand when I walked off the stage was Danny Wimmer, who, as we all know, runs all these giant festivals across the nation. I thought it was the sound guy, and I was just—he was like, "Great set, man!" I'm like, "Thanks, dude. Appreciate the help." And I literally just walked on. And later that day, I was in an interview. I think it was with Jave.
Was it with Jave? Okay.
That year.
Because that year, Rock 104.5 was everywhere around the festival.
Okay.
We had banners up.
I think it was, it was y'all. I believe so. And in the middle of the interview, Danny Wimmer comes in and steps right in front of the camera. And of course, I was like, well, that's rude. And then I realized what he was about to say. And he goes, hey, you want to play the main stage tomorrow for about 15, 20,000 people? And I was like, that's going to be a hard yes. We're going to do that.
Let me think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me talk to my guys. And then so the next day we came back, played that show. Side stage, there was all these people with clipboards, which mm-hmm. in my head meant industry.
Right.
And soon after we played that show, got label offers and agents and management offers, all kinds of stuff. And the rest is history. Got signed after that and been touring the world and all kinds of stuff. So Aftershock's a real big part of our history, our genesis.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have done 2013. You were asked back the next year in 2014, mm-hmm. 2017, 2022, 2024 now.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is your home base.
Yeah, last time we were here, our semi hit a bear.
Oh, no.
And our gear almost didn't get here. I think it was 2022.
Okay.
And, yeah, hit a bear, killed
where
a bear, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. We made it to the festival,
okay.
But our semi truck with all of our gear didn't.
Right.
And we're like, where's our gear? You know? And we get a phone call, and it turns out they hit a bear, and they're sussing out the situation. And then it gets there just in time for our crew to just bum rush the stage with our gear.
Okay.
Barely made it, and we played the show, but
all right.
Almost didn't make it.
Let's go back to the. I don't want to say first album, because you had a couple albums before that, but the first album that really broke you guys with This Is The Time, Jenny, Mr. MTV. I mean, just those songs and just that record and recording that, your first real major label record.
Yeah, so when we recorded it initially, it was before we got signed. So mm-hmm. we had actually done a bunch of label showcases. We'd driven to New York and L.A. multiple times. Pretty much showcased for every label that existed. They all said no.
Okay.
They said, we're not signing rock bands or whatever reason they gave. So we just said, you know what, screw it. We're going to make the album ourselves. And we moved into a house together, self-produced, self-funded, did one of those like online, at the time I think it was called Kickstarter, but it was mm-hmm. a crowdsource funding.
Right.
And then that album led to you know, us playing Aftershock right. and things like that, and then we got signed and they picked up the album, and but yeah, that's where it all started.
The new album is called Carnal, and we've been playing Angel Song featuring David Draymond of Disturbed. How does that come about?
Yeah, so we were playing a show in Switzerland mm-hmm. with Disturbed and I Prevail, and we, you know, a lot of shows, you know how it is backstage, where sometimes we have to leave soon or there's complicated logistics with our gear, and sometimes you don't always have the space and the time to like hang with other bands.
Right, yeah.
And but this show was just the perfect show where none of us had to be anywhere soon after, so, and we had a great backstage and a good time, and mm-hmm. there was kind of a party environment, so we just hung out, shot the shit, and drank some beers, and then after that whole that was our European tour last summer. After we got home, we were like, you know what, we should reach out to David and Eric from I Prevail and see if they want to be on any of the songs on the new album, because mm-hmm. we were wrapping it up.
Right.
And we initially sent David Draymond a song called Stuck.
Okay.
And we ended up switching the song to Angel Song because we're like, you know what? Stuck's a little more up the lane of what we've all heard David Draymond do already, which right. is kind of the little more metalcore leaning stuff. So we're like, this one's a little more rock leaning and a little bit of a bigger, wider audience kind of a song. Mm-hmm. So let's see if he's down for that. And it just fit his voice really well on the verses. And even at the time, not to get political or anything, but a lot of people know he, you know, he's a big supporter of Israel. He's Jewish mm-hmm. and everything. And everything that went down with October 7th, and I'm sure how he felt just kind of getting, almost feeling like ganged up on by the world, you know, right. after that. The lyrics in the second verse are just very like standing your ground, not taking... You know, I can't curse in the air, right?
We could edit.
Oh, okay. Not taking shit from no one, you know, and just anti-authoritarian kind of point of view. So it just fit him and his soul and his situation really well. So it all worked out.
Right. That's an incredible story. And you guys have just been announced for the Disturbed 25th anniversary of the Sickness Tour. You guys are going to be going out with their Disturbed on the second leg of the tour, actually yeah. making a stop in Sacramento
yeah.
on May 9th.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be a fun tour. The Sickness, great album. It was that one of those albums that you picked up when you were a kid?
Yeah, so I was actually shown that album by a friend and was just blown away. It was one of those, I'm gonna date myself, but I think I was in middle school okay. at the time yeah. or something, and I was just like, what is this?
I thought the same thing when I heard me off guard on yeah. the radio for the first time. I was like, wow. It was something. It was like anything I ever heard of.
Yeah, it was just very fresh at the time and unique, and his vocals were so I don't know, he pushed the limits a little bit.
Yes,
and so,
he did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, it's if I could go back in time and tell my younger self I'd be touring with Disturbed on this tour for, you know, the Sickness Tour, I'd be like, no way, no way. So it's pretty wild, man. Full circle.
Back in the day, I played a little bit of drums. So I got to know, why did you step back from the kit to come out front and lead the band?
So from day one, so I started the band back when I was younger. I asked Mark to start a band with me, my guitar player, and he initially said no. And then eventually he gave in and came over. And I kind of formed the band piece by piece as far as different members over time. And Mark was there. He's the oldest standing member. And so, since day one, I'd always been a part of the writing and the kind of creation of the melodies and the lyrics and the songs. But I just always had stage fright. Okay. Truth to God, I did not know I could sing. Like I was kind of embarrassed or shy to sing. Okay. So the drums were much more comfortable because I had tried out for the choir when I was a kid,
yeah.
and I didn't make it. I was like one of two kids that didn't make it at a small school, which means in my mind as a kid, I was like, well, I guess I suck at that. You know, probably shouldn't try that. And then you know, fast forward however many years of us having five different singers over the course of a few different albums, and it just kind of getting minor success, but just regional, but it never really breaking through. I was like, we got to do something. Like, something's got to change. And so after, like, fifth singer, and I was down, like, half a bottle of tequila in Mexico one night. And I was like, you know what?
Careful.
Screw it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sing. I had this feeling of, like, I do not want to go to my grave wondering, what if I had tried? What if I had taken my fate into my own hands? Because the singer was the thing that was like the missing piece in our puzzle that was always preventing us from reaching any kind of success. So that's what we did. And years later, I just got better and better every year and kind of figured it out.
Was there ever a time where you said, I can do both? I can pull the Don Henley. I can stay back there and sing and drum at the same time.
I played one show, maybe two, because we did like a practice show. Mm-hmm. But I did one real show in L.A. at the Key Club because we had won the Battle of the Bands at Ernie Ball for Warped Tour. Remember Warped Tour?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we were like one of four bands that got flown out to L.A. because we had won the Battle of the Bands.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had just separated with our singer. And I got the call, and it was like $10,000 a gear. We're going to fly you out to showcase for these labels. And I was like, hey, we just fired our singer. And they were like, oh, we'll get another band. I was like, no. I'll do it. So I sang that show from behind the drum kit. It was horrible. It was the most, because, you know, it wasn't like Phil Collins style music where you can kind of lay back into it. It was progressive, and there was metal elements, and I was like, I can't do both.
Okay.
I can do both like mediocre. I can't do both exceptional.
Okay.
So I had to pick a lane.
So know? When you're not touring the world and hanging out with Disturbed, what do you do? I mean, what?
Honestly,
what's your go-to?
So the last 2 weeks I was just home. We got off a run with Godsmack, and then we had a headlining run, and we had 2 weeks right before this where literally I'm doing construction projects when I'm home. Like, I was doing a whole epoxy marble looking floor for a studio that I'm building behind my house, and then I'm also helping my girlfriend right now build interior design and doing little home projects on an Airbnb that we're like putting together in Nashville. So cool. It's kind of a party spot
now. Is it going to be like an Ode to Nothing More, or is it just going to be like Airbnb?
No, it's going to be it's a little more geared towards females because they're the big bachelorette parties in that market that come through, and they buy, you know, they're the ones that are going to spend all the money and stay at these spots. Yeah, the woo girls with the pink boots and the pink cowboy hats. Oh yeah,
that's awesome. Well, you know, in a lot of places, a lot of Airbnbs are, you know, kind of, they do have a theme, and so you know, once this one takes off, then you can maybe just start a you know? Airbnb theme throughout the country. There you go. So we like to play a little game here, especially based on where you're from and some of your influences and things like that. It's called Fast Five. And we're going to ask you five either-or type questions. There might be three options. And basically, there's no wrong answer, just whatever comes to the top of your head when we ask the questions.
Fast Five, okay.
You want to play some Fast Five?
I'm in.
Let's
ready.
Do it. All right, so you guys are from the Texas area, San Antonio, Texas. So the first one's going to be Butthole Surfers, Union Underground.
Oh, Union Underground.
Okay, all right. Whataburger, In-N-Out.
Whataburger.
and can you pronounce it right?
Whataburger.
There you go. Dr. Pepper or Coke?
Dr. Pepper or Coke? I don't drink either, so I'm going to go with Coke. I'm going to go with the classic.
Fair enough. Let's go with 80s hair metal, 90s grunge.
I'm going to have to say 90s grunge, even though it's kind of depressing. 80s hair metal is way more fun, but I grew up on 90s. I kind of grew up right past it.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And finally, San Antonio Spurs, Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, San Antonio Spurs.
There you go.
That's my hometown.
Very good.
Actually, we said when you said Whataburger, that's technically, I think I would say on the commercials, but we'd say Whataburger lot of times. I always thought it was Whataburger growing up as a kid, like water, but it's not. It's Whataburger.
All right, so can you describe a Whataburger for us?
Yeah.
So many people love them, man.
I love it. Personally, I get in arguments with the guys on our crew and our band all the time about In-N-Out versus Whataburger.
Okay.
But I think Whataburger is the king of the fast food burger because they make them fresh in the sense that they take longer. Like, the service sucks. Like, you're going to wait in line longer than any of the other ones. Mm-hmm. But it's because they don't just make them and have them, like, waiting all just on a, what do you call it? Something that keeps it warm.
Right, yeah.
They don't have them sitting to the side. Okay. They make it, as soon as you order it, they start thawing it out.
All right.
And they make, you know, it just has a different taste, but it's a... I don't know, man. It's just, maybe it's an acquired taste, but I just think it's better. I think you got to get the number four, the jalapeno cheese Whataburger. That's the one.
And I think they just opened one down in Vegas, Kevin. So maybe we'll have to make a trip to Vegas and try some Whataburger.
And with the spicy ketchup.
I've had the Whataburger. I got to go in and out.
Okay. This interview is over, guys.
Johnny, thank you so very much. We appreciate you taking some time with us. And I so look forward to the set. It's been a long time since I've seen you guys. And I don't think Kevin's had the chance to experience your show.
I'm excited.
And, yeah. Well, now that he told me he's like in and out over Whataburger, I don't know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to be up there with them. We're going to sing a song. We're going to take David Drayman. All right. Johnny, thank you so very much. And all the success. And can't wait to see you again in 2025 with Disturbed.
Yeah. Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me. And we'll see you then.